You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey y'all, I'm JJ.
Hey guys, it's Kat.
And on this episode, we have the whole gang.
Hey,
back.
I'm Riley.
Oh, Riley, what are you doing? Get out of here.
You're both the support figure. Cut that out.
No, you're fine. I'll throw it.
No, we're leaving it in. I like that.
Yeah, we're gonna leave that in.
More guests will be like, hello. And me.
But yeah, no, we have JJ and Kat here. It's been a busy winter, so we're super excited to have them on for this episode. How have you guys been doing?
I know, I missed all of y'all. Sorry, I've been MIA. I've just been like work and sick and all the things that happens in the winter. So, but I'm excited to be here. Nothing really new.
Well, yeah, we're glad to have you on. Fun things to talk about. We're excited to have Riley on this episode. As you heard her chime in a minute ago,
hey,
she is currently binge listening to the podcast and she has lots of stories to share with us. Riley, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It's really cool to be talking to you guys.
Of course, we love to find out where our guests fall on what we call the Believo-meter, zero meaning ghost or not real, and 10 ghosts or spirits are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I'm going to have to be at a 10, but I'm kind of depending on JJ to take all the stories, chop them up and serve them on a silver platter for me and see if I need to scale that down a notch or two.
I feel like I've gotten much worse at doing that as the podcast has gone on. Now,
why? Because like, you're more of a believer now?
Yes. So,
where are you, JJ?
I'm like 5. I'm on the fence.
You've been in 5 since 2021, where I'm currently at.
I'm firmly on the fence.
But it's nice to have permission to welcomely be skeptic for every story.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So he's probably excited about
that. I'm still skeptic for every story too. So.
Well, Riley, so you have all these stories here. Why don't we start with the first one you wrote into us about? You titled it The Demon of Rex Road Place and My First Apparition.
That one was probably like the worst encounter I've had as far as like a dark energy or like evil. My dad was military, so we moved around a lot. So when we moved into this house, like it was kind of right away, you knew something was off about it. As a kid, you know, you don't really have a choice. I know you had another guest who actually talked about a similar house in the same area of Bellevue, Nebraska. And I almost wondered if that wasn't like the same house with the way she described it. But anyway, it was in the basement of this house. We'd lived there already for a while before I ever saw it, but it was me and all my brothers and sisters. We didn't like it down there. We all kind of knew something was off. Unfortunately, the laundry room was down there, so we did have to be in that room from time to time. I guess I should preface by saying that anytime that we were in the basement, or at least for me, it just felt really heavy and really dark and just bad. Overwhelming your senses bad. Like you couldn't focus on a conversation because your mind was just yelling, okay, this is bad. And I did not be down there any more than I absolutely had to. And the stairs that went up and down were very distinct sounds. They were the, you know, the wooden slat kind of stairs. They're really loud and they creak and they bang. Mm-hmm. And you could hear those stairs from anywhere in the house. And I tried a lot of times just to get up and down quietly to see if I could get up and down quietly. Sometimes because the video games were stashed down there. And so if I was trying to sneak mm-hmm. around and play video games at night, sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening, you know, I didn't want to get caught. So I would try to go as quietly as possible. And you just can't go quietly up those stairs. You just can't.
Right. You can try to learn like which stairs don't make the most noise and like step in a certain pattern, but it never worked. I never remember.
That was exactly me. That's exactly what I did. And I did manage to find the what I thought was the quietest way up and down, but it was not quiet. It was still loud. You could still hear it from everywhere. One night I had just got up at night to get a drink of water. And I was downstairs in the kitchen, sitting there at the sink. And uncommonly, I just started to get that same really bad feeling while I was standing there in the kitchen. And that normally only happens when you're in the basement. So when I started getting it in the kitchen, I was really kind of freaked out. I heard that creak from the stairs, like somebody stepped on the stairs. And I am very confident that I was the only one up. And I did check with the other family members the next day, and nobody admitted to being up. And so I just got really freaked out. I just covered my eyes and I ran blind through the house up the stairs because it was three levels. I ran back up into my room to get up there, and I actually hit, like, I thought somebody was standing there in the hallway. I hit something. I fell down. I fell on my ass. Something. I opened my eyes at this point and something was there. It was like a really big dark mass, and it had like this neck. It stretched out and around and down like a big freaky snake draft neck. And it just got right up in my face. And it had like, I couldn't really see its face. It looked like it was wearing a white mask, but it was staticky. Like it wasn't clear. I couldn't tell what it was. All I just know is that it was right there. It was in my face and I could not move. I was so freaking scared. And I was just paralyzed just there on the floor. I don't really know how long I was sitting there, but at some point another creak from the basement stairs came up. Mm-mm. And the thing looked up in response to the sound. It looked up down the hall towards where the stairs were to go down to the main level. And once it looked away from me, I could actually like move again. And I just like, I didn't even stand up. I crawled into my room, into my bed and under the covers. And I just stayed under the covers.
No screaming or crying or anything like that?
There was probably crying. I couldn't scream. I actually tried to scream while I was laying there on the ground. I couldn't scream. I imagine I probably did cry. I know I was shaking really bad.
Yeah.
And I just terrifying. Like, I tucked under the covers and I just stayed under the covers.
As you're describing this entity, our cat is like rubbing on our leg. And I was like, oh!
That thing actually ended up staying with me. I believe it took on like a smaller form than it was, but it still had that white mask and the staticky thing, and I would always see it, and it didn't bother me again. Like it was just kind of chilling. It would always hang out right by my closet, and I could always see it like at night and just sometimes randomly, and it was just there. And it ended up staying with me for a long time because I didn't like it at first, but it never did anything. And I can't help but wonder if it might not have combated the basement guy.
Oh, so maybe it was like a good creepy snake draft demon.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time we moved, he just moved with me. Like that guy was always around. But this isn't only him. This was a sketch I did, a combination of him and a character from a book that a friend of mine was writing. But like that kind of mask and the slit mouth and stuff that you see on there, that was kind of what his mask looked like, but he didn't have the shadows around the outside of it. It literally looked like TV static.
That's so
and
funny.
I never wanted to focus on it too hard.
I noticed that picture and I was, no, that's something different. That's not it staring at us from that picture.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Well, and Riley, and just to state, so you were 10 years old when this happened, right?
Probably 10 or 11, because 10, 11, 12, okay. I lived in that house.
And you also, can you tell us about the bald man that you would see?
Oh my gosh.
Usually I would only see him in the winter. And I think it was like related to the living room, because a lot of times in the winter when we put up the Christmas tree, we like to like camp out in the living room with the Christmas tree and look at the lights and stuff. And it was fun. And the living room had this big windows, for like three big windows made up one of the walls. And we had a little bit of bushes, and then it overlooked like the front yard and the street. And so sometimes there was just this guy there, and it was very unnerving to see him. He wasn't, I wanted to say he would be like, you wouldn't mistake him for like a person. He definitely had like a bluish hue and like dark blue overalls and stuff. It was like coveralls. It kind of looked like a snowsuit, and he was kind of heavier set, and his eyes were kind of interesting because they were just really dark, and it looked like he had two black eyes every time that I saw him. It wasn't like that his eyes themselves were black, really swollen, dark blue, baggy,
gotcha.
Maybe like he'd been punched, but I don't know why really, but I just always associated him with snow plows. Maybe it's just because he was there in the winter, but he would just come, and usually he'd just be in the yard, maybe walking like down the sidewalk. There was a couple times where he would come up behind the bushes. And one time he was like kind of just pressing his face in on the outside and just like looking into the house, which was pretty unnerving and creepy to see.
Did anyone else in your family see any of these spirits, or was it just you?
Not that one. I was sharing a room with my little sister, and she says now, I talked to her a couple days ago about it, but she said that she did see the other thing, that the giraffe guy that like stayed with me. We started calling him No Face, and she said he looked scarier than the smaller form that he took for me. And so I found out later that this thing that was standing there by my closet was also traumatizing my sister. And she used to, I guess, wake up at night and go to my older sister or my mom and dad and say that she was scared and there was something in her room. And I talked to my older sister as well, and she said the same thing.
When's the last time you've seen this entity?
In the smaller form, I made them all go away before my firstborn was born, just because I didn't feel like I knew enough about it. And I felt like, you know, I was a mom now, and I just really had to kind of move on from the spirits and stuff. Like, ghosts are for kids is basically what I told myself. And I was like, look, everything, you guys all have to go. And, you know, you're cool. We never had any problems or anything, but no, you still have to go. And so he did.
That's pretty chill. But,
so they stayed with you all the way through adulthood.
I think it was 21 when my son was born.
Did you ever learn if there was any past trauma in that home or anything, you know, that could have dug this energy up?
Well, I know that a dog led a very bad life there. There was like scratch marks and claw marks and bite marks all under the those wooden stairs, because it was like all like a little pantry underneath, like storage area underneath the stairs. And on the underneath side of that, it definitely looked like somebody had locked an animal in that was not happy to be in there. Mm. The bite marks and claw marks looked like a small dog. And the previous owners of the house said, no, there was never any animals there, but obviously that was a lie. And we also found like an old buried toy and like a collar tag from a dog in the yard. Yeah, they definitely lied. There was animal there, and it was.
Well, I was going to say the entity does give kind of dog energy. Well, didn't really do anything but stared at you and like turned at the noise and then just kind of like stuck near you, maybe being protective. And then it was such a good boy listening to you, and you're like, time to go.
Yeah, that's true. He was very chill. My sister said there was a ghost of a dog in that basement that she interacted with. While we were down there for tornadoes and stuff, but I never saw that one. I don't know.
Can you tell us about Emily, the ghost on the stairs?
Oh, yeah, that was a little bit later. After I graduated high school, I went to stay with my older sister, and she had a larger house near college campus, so she would rent out some of the rooms. And there was two rooms upstairs and the other rooms downstairs. So she and I had the upstairs rooms, and up the stairs, there was like a little landing, like three or four stairs down, and it would turn and you take the last three or four stairs. And there was this ghost there. We called her Emily. I don't really know why, it just fit. And I learned later, bad juju, don't name your ghost. But, you know, we named her. She was Emily. And she would push you. She would push you going down the stairs. And if you were cleaning, she would leave you alone. So if you had like a basket of laundry or a broom, or you were dusting or doing something, and if you weren't cleaning, she would either kind of like be there. You could tell it was just like, I don't want to say a chill in the air, but it was like more still. And I don't know, I could just feel her there. And she would push you, like physically hands-on push you. She pushed me, I think, maybe two or three times. And my sister, once I know for sure, she said she didn't push her, but I remember her pushing her one time for sure. And then like the other roommates and my sister's boyfriend and stuff would all get pushed. But they didn't really clean either. So maybe that was why. She's just a very tidy ghost. So she wants her house kept nice. I did see her half apparition. She wasn't full body. It would always cut off like down the hips. But and I'm really bad at guessing time periods. So I don't know if it was like Victorian or colonial, but she had like an older style dress. With like an apron and one of those little duster hair bonnet things. So I don't know if she maybe was like a caretaker there once and just wanted to stick around and make sure the new tenants were cleaning the home properly or something. But I don't know. She would, though. She would push you.
That's aggressive.
Yeah. Kat, with you and JJ, who would be the most likely to get pushed by a ghost for not cleaning?
I don't know. Lately, we've both been pulling our...
It depends which room of the house. Because I'm more like the kitchen, and then Kat's more the living room, bedroom area.
And the bathrooms.
And the bathroom.
And the guest room.
Hey, I cleaned the bathrooms last time.
That's true. You cleaned this like, one.
And I cleaned the guest room last time.
It sounds like Kat does everything but the kitchen.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stir up any
no, you didn't. Marital drama. Take turns, you know.
Yeah.
Good.
I struggle with that. I know you guys have ADD too, and that's something that I do really good with the general space of the house, but personal space, I'm kind of bad at keeping tidy.
And you know what? Having like your own personal tornado is okay, because it's comforting. It's what we know. We know what's in those piles. It's okay.
That's my house right now. Honestly, if Emily was here, she'd be just chasing me with a broomstick.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz, and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.